Chapter 30. Lucy somehow managed to get a call into the on-duty agent at the federal building to send the alert of Taylor's abduction and set up a trap on her cell phone as well as Taylor's. That would track any incoming or outgoing calls as well as activate the GPS locators. When she finished, she stared at her phone and couldn't remember if she'd actually made the call or had only imagined it. The girl cradled in her lap hadn't said a word, hadn't moved. "It's okay," Lucy murmured, stroking her hair and bending over her to shield her from the chaos surrounding them. "You're safe now." The girl didn't even blink. She stared at the spot where the van had been. "Do you know your name?" Lucy asked. Missy Barstow had been only 10 months old when she'd been abducted. She couldn't be 100% certain this girl was Missy, but she bore a strong resemblance to her parents' pictures from the case file. The girl's face went blank as she considered the question. She didn't look at Lucy as she answered. "Girl." The single word was heart-wrenching. Lucy buried her face in the shoulder of her parka, wiping away water and hiding her expression. "Bastard," she thought, rage drowning out any thought of professionalism. There was no hell, no torture heinous enough for the man who called himself Daddy. "Your name, your real name," Lucy told the girl once she composed herself, "is Missy Barstow. Your mommy and daddy, your real daddy, have been looking for you for a long, long time. They miss you very much and will be so happy to have you back." The girl's face remained blank, but she clenched both fists and drew them up to her chest as if warding off an attack. "I want daddy. I was a good girl. He said to stand still, and I did, no matter what. I did. Where's daddy?" Lucy had no strength left to answer, so she simply hugged the girl tighter. Burroughs finished delegating tasks to the officers and joined them. He crouched down and gave the girl a warm smile. "Hi, sweetie. Let's get you out of this rain." He lifted her from Lucy's arms and transferred her into the shelter of the wrecked Tahoe while they waited for the ambulance. She didn't resist, wouldn't even look Burroughs in the eye, just kept turning her head to stare in the direction the van had taken. Lucy trudged after them, rain battering her from all directions. Yet, she felt nothing.
"Guess we know why he planted those driver's licenses," Burroughs said, standing outside and leaning against the open rear door of the Tahoe, shielding Lucy and the silent girl from the weather. "It was a trap. This guy's got balls. I'll say that for him. No way after what happened down at the waterfront today would you resist coming to see the actor who tried to grab that girl. But why target you?
Thought you said he was after June Unknown and her husband."
The ambulance arrived, sparing Lucy the need to answer. Good thing, since she had no answers, just an idea that scared the crap out of her. Had she told Taylor where June and Seth were? She couldn't remember. "Lend me your phone," she asked Burroughs. She didn't want to tie hers up in case Taylor's abductor tried to call. Burroughs stood, looming over her as she dialed Walden, obviously intent on listening in. But the paramedics moved him aside as they transferred the girl to their stretcher. "You need checked out, ma'am?" one of them asked, nodding to Lucy's scrapes along her palms and arms. She was waiting for Walden to pick up and spared the paramedic only a cursory shake of her head before closing the door on him, Burroughs, and the chaos of the scene.
"Yeah, boss," Walden answered. "Just heard about Taylor. We'll turn around."
"No," she ordered. "You need to get to the house and evacuate everyone. Take them someplace safe. Don't tell me where. Not until this is all finished." Oshiro's voice came through.
"You think he took Taylor to get intel on June's location?"
Not June's, Seth's. If her theory was correct, Daddy needed to know if one of the dead men had given him up. But it was still just a theory, so she didn't waste energy on words. As soon as she knew Nick and Megan were clear of the situation, she would confront Seth herself. "Keep my family safe, Timmy."
"Yes, ma'am. They're in good hands."
How close are you?
Pulling into the drive now, Walden replied. Sorry it took us so long. There was a wreck on 22.
Didn't you say Taylor's banana mobile was here?
Oshiro asked. I don't see it.
That would explain a lot. Walden, call me once you're inside and secure. She hung up and tried Megan's number again. Seth, we need to talk. I know about the men. About Sacramento, Des Moines, Bakersfield, New Orleans, St. Louis. Daddy took Taylor. He might be going after June and my family next. Call me. I know you want to do this alone, but you'll get a good man killed. You need to let me help. A knock at the window startled her. She glanced up to see John Greeley standing there, his expression a professional mask studded with cracks, chiseled by worry and anger. She unlocked the door and he opened it, sliding in beside her and closing it once more.
Tell me everything, he commanded.
She did, leaving out only her suspicions about Seth. No proof and no relevance to any official strategies to rescue Taylor. The fire was headed toward the girl, she finished. Our subject stood, watching. He knew I had no time to take the shot and save Taylor. He knew I had to choose. So did Taylor. Her voice dropped, but still sounded much too loud in the hollow confines of the SUV. I let him take Taylor. They sat in silence for a long moment. Then Greeley, the SCAC, morphed into Greeley, her friend, and wrapped an arm around her shoulder. She was glad for the tinted glass giving them privacy. Taylor knows you had no choice, Greeley said. Even if you did, he would have wanted you to save the girl. I'm so sick and tired of being backed into a corner, of doing the right thing, yet still losing. It's not a game, Lucy. Tell that to the guys at OPR when they play Monday morning quarterback and dissect my every move. I allowed a serial killer with no conscience to abduct one of my men, take him right in front of me while I had a weapon trained on him. I'm finished, Grayley. This is it. He moved his arm away from her and turned in his seat to face her, his expression stern. Is that self-pity I'm hearing, Special Agent? She shook her head. It took everything she had to meet his gaze. No, sir. It's a warning. You might want to distance yourself, because I will get Taylor back, and I will stop this subject, whatever it takes. Once he was ready, Seth pulled his and June's cell phones out of the special bag and box and turned them on. It was a short hike to the dam, and he wanted Daddy to follow him every step of the way. Unlike Seth's previous quarries, Daddy would be expecting a trap. Fine with Seth. He wasn't planning to get away with murder. Not this time. All he needed was to close the distance enough to get a few well-placed shots off. He was betting on the fact that after trying to have Seth killed earlier today, Daddy wouldn't be able to resist finishing the job face to face. Megan's phone sounded again. Lucy, again. He listened to her messages, felt bad about Taylor. But really, what more could he do besides what he was already doing? He sat in the driver's seat, staring at the phone. He should be moving, but his body was suddenly sapped of energy, and it was all he could do to keep from dropping the phone. He'd left a message for June in the glove compartment, but there was a chance no one would find it. It was too late for Lucy to stop his plan, so he answered. I'm going to finish this, he said by way of greeting. I know, but Taylor shouldn't pay the price. That's not what you're about, not why you killed those men. He didn't have an answer for that and almost hung up when she said. I checked the police reports. Each of them had images from the baby girl collection in their possession, images that we've never seen before. The autopsies say those men were tortured, waterboarded before they died. I know that wasn't for fun, not even for revenge. I needed information, and it was the fastest way. Don't you think for one moment that I enjoyed it? Of course not.
Those men were stalking you and June, threatening your family. He told them to, sent them after us, gave them special access to his private collection. Sick, twisted bastard. He's not getting away with it. Not again. You turned your phones back on. He'll know it's a trap.
Even without Taylor, sounds like you're getting along just fine.
Not really. He left his computer behind.
He was tracking our phones?
Yes. I can be at your location in 40 minutes. Will you wait for me? Or at least let me negotiate something with Daddy to save Taylor?
Negotiate? No such thing. Not with him. He takes what he wants and doesn't give a shit about the rest of the world.
Know how he got Taylor? Her voice snagged, as if she was in pain. I was lining up a shot to take down Daddy and save Taylor when Daddy lit his latest victim, little Missy Barstow, on fire. I had to make a choice, Seth. And Taylor knew. He watched me choose Missy. I abandoned my man, Seth. You have to give me a chance to get him back. He closed his eyes and pressed his free hand against his face, trying to block out the image she described.
Is she okay? The little girl?
She's alive. I don't know if she'll ever be okay. Seth's chest tightened as he held his breath. Lucy waited on the other end of the line. Finally, he could take it no longer. He blew his breath out, and with his last hope.
What did you have in mind?